So we are going to read Song of Solomon chapter 1. Verse what, Sister Sherry? she has a record, I'm sure. Verse 4, we are not going to look at everything, but I just want to draw your attention to a few words here. You have Song of Solomon chapter 1, verse 4. Okay, everyone has the Bible? Marisa, Marianne, you all have your Bible with you? Okay, good. Song of Solomon, I'm going to read from chapter 1, verses 4 to 6. How are you, Sister Pat? Good. Praise the Lord. Draw me away. We will run after you. The king has brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in you. We will remember your love more than wine. Rightly do they love you. Verse 5. I am dark but lovely, O daughters of Jerusalem, like the tents of Kedar, like the curtains of Solomon. Do not look upon me because I am dark, because the sun has tanned me. My mother's sons were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard I have not kept. You hear that? So in verse 4, the Shulamite say, what did she say in verse 4? Anyone? Draw me away. Draw me away. The Shulamite is asking for her beloved to draw her, right? So we're going to look at these few things. Draw me away. And then when she was drawn to the king, look at verse 5. She saw that she was dark. Okay, we can draw spiritual principles from here. This is how God usually works. We ask God to draw us. When we go nearer to God, then we discover we are dark. What does it mean? We discover the true condition. The nearer we go to God, the clearer we see our true condition and true state. It's impossible to say that, you know, we draw near to God. The more I draw near, I don't see my condition or my heart and all that. This clearly shows us in Song of Solomon chapter 1. She asked to be drawn and to him, and she will run after him. And when she was drawn, she saw herself as dark but lovely. You have that? So that's a spiritual principle. We're not going to look at that. Maybe one day we will go a little more deeper on that. But this evening, we are going to look at John chapter 4, which has the principles we have just mentioned, exemplified and shown in the story, in the account of Jesus with a woman at the well. Have I shared on this story before? No, right? Oh, y'all don't know. Never mind. That means I can share something three times or so. Woman at the well, okay? John chapter 4. John chapter 4, the account of the woman at the well, do you know? We remember the story? You know, right? You mean I shared before?
Yeah.
I shared before? Yeah. Have I shared before? Not everyone is clear, huh? Are you sure?
Most are not here.
Most are not here. The account of woman at the well is a very interesting account, because we can look at it from many perspectives. Every detail in the account gives us a different meaning, gives us a different perspective. I'm just going through quickly.
Give me a drink.
Huh?
Give me a drink.
Did I share it? I don't think so. Oh, the one that I shared was the woman with the faith one.
That she bled for many years and then she touched the cloak of Jesus Christ.
No. The woman, she brought the... She was persistent with the faith, remember?
Oh, the woman. And she got nothing but used the fragrance to wash Jesus' feet.
Oh, so many women, sorry. Never mind. So it shows that we don't know. So it's okay. I'm just going through the list in the website. I don't think we have looked at this. The reason I look at this is because this morning I woke up with this verse. So praise the Lord.
Am I? New revelation.
God is always good. That's why I don't think we have looked at it, but I just thought of asking all of you.
New story.
New story. Let's go to verse 1. Shall we read verse 1? John chapter 4. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, what happened here? Jesus realized that the Pharisees has heard Jesus made more disciples than John. Now, what happened? But it explained in the brackets, though Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples. After he heard about the what the Pharisees knew, it wasn't the time for Jesus to be caught yet, right? It was still early in his ministry. The Pharisees cannot catch him. It wasn't his time yet. In verse 3, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. Do you have that in verse 3?
Yes.
Amen. Verse 4. But he needed to go through Samaria. Well, that is what caught my attention. If you look at the word needed in the text, in the Greek text, it was talking about it was absolutely necessary for him to go through Samaria. Most Jewish people would skip Samaria. They are not in good terms. So to go to a place, they would rather take a big round or take other routes. But here it says that Jesus needed to go through Samaria. Hello, my brother, my sister, friends. Just now we say Song of Solomon, it says, draw me away. Remember that? When you ask Jesus to draw you, Jesus can come to you. What if it is the story of your life? What if it is the story of my life? Jesus needed to go to you. Can you understand? Would you like that? Jesus must go to your house. Jesus must go to your heart. Jesus must go to your life. Jesus needed, absolutely necessary, he must come to Bethany. For example, I'm giving an example. Absolutely necessary, Jesus wants to come to you. Will you be happy? Of course, right? We want Jesus to come to us, right? Are you happy? We'll be very happy. So when we read this verse 4, it says, he needed to go through Samaria. And all of us know this story. It's about a woman, remember, who had 5 husbands. What attracted Jesus to this woman? What drew Jesus to this woman? It's key. It's very crucial. It speaks about God's heart. Why it was absolutely necessary that Jesus had to go through Samaria. We'll find out. Let's continue on. Just now we read until verse 4. Somebody read verse 5 and verse 6 for me.
So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore being weary of his journey, sat thirst by the well. It was about the sixth hour.
So like I said, this account has many layers of meanings. A lot of people can draw a lot of lessons from why this place is called Sychar, why is it Jacob's well. There are many spiritual significance. And why is it the sixth hour? Every detail in the Bible has a purpose. Right? That's how we learn to read the Bible, meditate on it, reflect on it. Why is it so? Why is it on the sixth hour? Why is it in a place near Sychar? Surely in the Old Testament, there must have been a mention of this place called Sychar. There must be a reference to the well. Here it's called Jacob's well. But this evening, we are not going to go through all that details. We are going to look at a different theme. We will just neglect those details for a while. But let's zoom in on verse, like what Brother Alex read just now in verse 6. Jesus said he must go through Samaria. After he went to Samaria, what happened to him? He became weary. He became weary. Like I see some of you here beginning to become weary. Your eyes. Your eyes getting weary. You try to force open wide your eyes. Right. So it is a good thing to find out that Jesus also could become weary. What this tells us, Jesus is the Son of God and the Son of Man. 100% God, 100% man. He can understand all that you and I have gone through. When we pray to Him, He understands, He can share, He can sympathize with our weakness and our infirmities. That is what we read in Hebrews. He's the high priest who could understand, who shares and sympathize with our condition because He once walked on this earth. Amen. Amen. He didn't say that He must go to Samaria and He went there bouncing, jumping out, and oh, He's full of energy. He showed His humanness. He became weary. Everybody liked that part, right? Give you license to be weary. Give you license to sleep. But I caught something very amazing. It says here, He was being wearied by the journey. Jesus was a very practical man. After you are weary, what do you do? Sit down, rest. Correct, rest or not? Huh? You sit down. Look at what did Jesus do? What did Jesus do? He sat down by the well. Right? Most of us would have stopped there. I'm weary. I sit down. I rest. You must have fallen asleep there. The woman came, took the water, went home. You missed the encounter with the woman. Correct, huh? Because rest, ma, tired, sit down. You drive highway, you will stop at R&R. Correct, no? Because it's dangerous. You sleep and miss every encounter. Look at Jesus. He was fully God, fully man. Son of God, Son of Man. What did He do? He could become weary. He was tired. He sat down. He allowed His body to rest. But His soul, His body is subject to His soul, and His spirit is subject to His soul. No. His body subject to the soul, His soul is subject to the spirit. He was the perfect man. When Adam was created, His spirit was dominant. Soul was behind. Body was last. After Adam fell, everything reversed. Body first, soul second, spirit last. When tired, sleep, forget everything. When you're hungry, angry, eat until we are all very fat. But Brother Albert will say, no, it's your genes. It's a gene that determines, because you say, Sister Sherry, eat and will not grow fat. So it's the gene. So what do we learn here? Jesus was practical. Even though He was tired, He rested, but He allowed His spirit to continue to do spiritual activity. His soul also is subject to His spirit. He could say, tired lah. If I'm tired, I go to the bus. I cannot minister to people lah. I go to the bus, I see people they need something, you just felt God said, pray for that person, but I'm so tired. Just now boss scolded me, or just now I've done this. Jesus did not miss it. Even though He was fully man, He let His spirit be the dominant feature in His life. Just like when He first created Adam. Spirit rule. Even though I'm not well in my body, if I have to do something God asked me to do, we have to learn to tell your body, hey, listen, I have to do what God asked me to do. Now I'm not going to use my body strength. I will sit down, I will rest. My spirit will continue. My soul must cooperate with me. When Jesus spoke to the woman, all His senses is still very sensitive, you know. Correct or not? He still operated with word of knowledge. He knew He had 5 husbands. He could still speak deep truth to that woman. But He really, He was weary. Most of us will say, when you are tired, you can't do anything really. But this is a perfect picture that we don't allow our bodies to rule us. Practical, He didn't jump up and down. He sat down. He allowed His body to rest. But He continued to allow His spirit to do what He must do. His soul submit to that. Isn't that amazing? So that you and I are not limited by our physical weakness, our soul's tiredness. Whilst we must let ourselves rest, God can still use us if we allow Him to. Amen. In fact, some people, let me go deeper. Some people, when they sleep, they allow their spirits to be very alive. Their spirit can go and do a lot of things. They travel to do a lot of things. They do intercession. Their spirits travel to do some other things. They have trained themselves to do that. Some people, they train their spirit before they sleep. They make their spirits very awake. They go to a spirit realm. Even though their bodies fall asleep, they decide to fall asleep in the Garden of Eden. So when they wake up, it's different. Is it possible? You all are very smart because you don't know, right? I begin to learn. It's very interesting. That day I read. Remember a few weeks ago we talked about wine tasting? Wine tasting? Well, everybody should remember. Yeah. The swirling and all, everything, you know, right? I was shocked when I read a book. A person say in heaven there's a wine tasting room. You see, when I prepared the sermon, I didn't even imagine. I don't even think of there's such a thing. But in heaven, there is such a reality. No, we were talking about the Song of Solomon. Oh, you missed that one, huh? Song of Solomon, we talk about his love is better than wine. Then I talk about wine. We talk about wine tasting. We talk about the wine glass. And in fact, people who went to heaven saw there's a room called the wine tasting room. I was shocked. So sometimes it's amazing. Amen. Is it exciting? So the Bible can be exciting. Our Christian life should be very exciting. Amen. So many things for us to explore, right? So physical weariness did not stop Jesus from spiritual activity because his physical body, his soul, yielded to his spirit. Hallelujah. Verse 7. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, what did Jesus say to her? Give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Jesus, of all the people, said, give me a drink. Again, we see the humanness of Jesus. He was weary, he was tired, right? He was thirsty. Correct or not? Hey, but we must read the whole story, okay? He was tired, he was thirsty. He asked for a drink. Means he was thirsty, right? The whole story, did he get to drink anything? Right? Not at all. Not at all. So, being thirsty is just half the truth of what he's saying. Correct or not? I was surprised. He said, give me a drink. It shows he's a man. He's a son of man. That he can be tired, he can be thirsty. But the reason he said that was not because he was thirsty. Because he didn't get the water at the end of the day. Right. Like I mentioned before, one of the statements Jesus made when he was on the cross, what did he say? I thirst. Remember? Remember that word? Jesus said, I thirst. Then they took the vinegar to him. Remember that one? Right? Remember what I said about it? Our thirst was also redeemed by Jesus. The fact that we can thirst after God is not your own goodness, my own goodness. When Jesus said that day he thirsts, it was a substitutionary statement he made. He said, I thirst, so that one day all the people who came after him, you and me, when we say we thirst after God, Jesus has made it possible, redeem the thirsting capacity in our soul and spirit. That is even part of the redemptive work at the cross. He thirsts on our behalf, so that when we thirst, it has been already been redeemed by Jesus. God can respond to our thirst. Amen. Can you catch what I'm saying or not? And here, similarly, when he said, give me a drink, actually I realized Jesus was echoing the thirst of this woman. He was not just talking about his humanness, he was echoing the condition of this woman. Woman, you come here every day, you draw water, right? You have five husbands, you are doing all these things. Jesus was describing the true condition that she herself was not aware of. She said, give me a drink. It was echoing your spirit, your condition of your soul. Sometimes Jesus speaks to awaken us to our true condition. Give me a drink. And when he said that, it triggered something in a woman's heart. Everything that the woman said began to reveal the truth of the matter, began to reveal the things that caused this woman not being able to satiate, fulfill that thirst. We'll see it later. I hope you are following me. I know most of you are beginning to meditate, reflect, consider, imagine, contemplate. From the faces I see, some of you are reflecting, contemplating, imagining, meditating. All done in an awakened state. Very good. Not done in a dreamy state, but all of you are in a very awakened state. What do I mean by that? Because what Jesus was saying, he was awakening the woman to her true need and true condition. Give me a drink. He was echoing the Spirit's cry in the Samaritan, in this woman's heart. Many times we do not know what we need, what we want, what truly is our desire, our need. We are seeking for everything. Everybody is seeking for everything under the sun without truly knowing what we need or what we truly need. People look for money, people look for health, people look for all kinds of things. When they found it, they say, how come still not enough? And they have money, they not enough. Power, not enough. When they have pleasure, not enough. Give me a drink, Jesus said. Let us continue in verse 9. Then the woman of Samaria said to him. Do you notice an interesting feature of this account? We don't know the woman's name. We don't know the woman's name. I like such accounts because one day we will see this woman in heaven. Of course, church history and tradition ascribe a name to this woman. They said there's a woman who ended up, she followed Jesus, she was martyred, she was used by God. You know, she became very powerfully used and she was martyred. We don't know how true is that. But it was never mentioned. Who is this woman? He was the first evangelist. He went back to his city, grabbed all the town to come to Jesus. All the people of the town became Christians, became followers of Jesus. So you see, verse 9, the woman of Samaria. Who is she? We don't know her name. But we make it so important, right? Like what last week we heard from Pastor Bernard, how we make it so important for our names to be known. Not just our names, but our titles. Apostle, Doctor, Prophet, Reverend. Sometimes in the Bible, we don't even know who is this. And does it matter? It doesn't matter. Hallelujah. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me? A Samaritan woman. For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Come read for me from verse 10 to verse 12. Someone read from verse 10 to verse 12.
Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who he is, and asked him for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself?
Huh. That's what I say, right? Just now Jesus echoed what was truly the condition of the spirit and the heart of this woman. immediately, because Jesus awakened her to her true state and condition, it begins to reveal what are the hindrances. That's why this woman, all this while, even though she was thirsty, she could never drink. She could never receive a drink to fill her thirst. What was it? God began to deal with the hindrances. God began to deal with the hindrances in her heart. Look here, my brother, my sister, if you remember, 2 weeks ago, we spoke about the wine thing, right? Wine tasting. We spoke, I recall it was very clear, we said that we must have the capacity. Remember? The bowl, or what Brother Albert told us, the decanter, the bowl, speaks about the capacity of our heart. You don't have the capacity, you cannot receive. Remember that? If your capacity is full, how to receive? It can be legitimate things. You're worried about things, your pursuit of this world, your pursuit of your selfish ambition, your pursuit of your needs. I was saying, even your legitimate needs can fill that capacity. And when your capacity is full, you cannot receive. Remember? Last week, remember, Pastor Bernard Ha mentioned about, we must have room. Make room for Jesus. Right? When Jesus came, there was no room for him. When he first came, he was born in a manger. No room for Jesus. We sing all the Christmas carol, but did we ever imagine what it was? Right? No room for... How did all the carols... Away in a manger. Oh, you all don't sing Christmas carol. All very high-tech. No... A little Lord Jesus lay down his... Wow, everybody thinking very hard. Not in the season of Christmas, you can't sing one, right? Okay, lah. Not in the Christmas world. Joy to the world, right? And have... prepare him room. That's a verse that says prepare him room, right? Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King and every heart.
No.
Let every heart prepare him room. People are thinking, well, Christmas already. Christmas comes early. Let every heart prepare him room. Because we all of us know, Sunday school children, all right, they make sketches, right? In the hotel, knock. No room. Then they bring Joseph and Mary to the manger. You talk about that wine, the whole capacity. Last week, we spoke about, Pastor Bernard told us about whether we have room. I think it is something that Jesus' finger is pointing to us. Jesus is speaking to you, speaking to me. It is not a coincidence. Right? 2 weeks ago, we mentioned about the capacity. Last week, we had Pastor Bernard to tell us, do you have room for Jesus? Do you remember that? It's not a coincidence. We should ask ourselves. We should ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us. The Holy Spirit wants and long. The fact that the Holy Spirit is pointing his finger on this issue, allow me to think. Give me room to think that the Holy Spirit wants to come in a greater measure to all of us. But he cannot, because there's no room. If he points at this issue, means he wants to come. But he cannot, because there is no room. Are you catching me? It's not a condemning message. But behind the message is a hope. The Holy Spirit wants to come in a greater measure. But he's revealing to you and to me. I cannot come if there is no room, no capacity. Are you catching me? We have been talking about the Holy Spirit coming to us as a resting place. You remember that? Hello? The Holy Spirit come as a resting place. Do you still remember that? It is our desire that the Holy Spirit come upon us in a greater measure. Amen. We are believing this place that Holy Spirit can inhabit this place. People come with sickness. People come with bondages that they encounter Jesus. Of course, we ourselves encounter Jesus in a more intimate manner. Amen. In order to have that, you and I must have a greater capacity. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He doesn't force his way in. Hello? Hello? We must listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. What is he saying? He's saying, we don't have the capacity, we don't have the room for him. We are filled with too many things inside. Just like this Samaritan woman. Her true problem, Jesus said, give me a drink. So to address this issue of not having room and capacity, the first thing that Jesus dealt with this Samaritan woman is to address the hindrances in her heart. Tell your friend to the left, to your right, the hindrances in my heart. I do that so that you all continue to the hindrances to be able to the hindrance. Suddenly you hear, don't know what hindrances or whatever. In order to resolve this issue of capacity in the Samaritan woman's heart, first Jesus needed to deal with the hindrances. What do I mean by hindrances? When Jesus spoke to her, it awakened her. Give me a drink. It awakened her to her true need and her true condition. What was the hindrance that the Samaritan woman had? Oh, you don't have dealing with us. Our ancestors, your ancestors, we know ngam. Very simple, huh? Malaysian, English, our language easier. We know ngam. We know talk. Why you ask for a drink? Come on, look here, my brother, my sister. Our past can hinder you, can hold you. Come, brother Joseph. to keep him, huh? Go to brother Alex. Go. Why are you not going? Go. Hinder, right? Hindrance. A past can hinder you. You want to move forward, but when it hinders you, walk. This one acting one, this one Hollywood. Thank you, brother Joseph.
Thank you, brother.
Hinder means you cannot move forward. You want to move forward, you cannot. Why? The past. This Samaritan woman suddenly talk about the past. Hey, you ask me for a drink. You Jews, we Samaria, we no talk and we no ngam. Immediately, the Samaritan woman meet a Jewish, trigger the thing. All along she must be a very peaceful person. She meet a Jewish person, talk to him, trigger. Are you no ngam, no talk, hinder? You see, if she continue on like that, praise the Lord, like Jesus is not siu hei. Correct not? If Jesus siu hei, yeah, okay lo. No ngam, I walk on. No? Correct not, brother Alex? Is Jesus siu hei?
No.
Do you see that? It could have hindered the Samaritan woman from receiving her breakthrough. So some of us are like that. We trigger something. The fact that you and I met someone, who trigger something of the past. Why must I go and see that person? I am that person last time, no ngam. Same, oh? Same or not? 20 years ago. Huh? So long already? 20 years ago, last time I had a fight with that person. Why must I meet him? All the place, I go to Starling Mall where nobody goes one. And right there in Starling Mall, I meet her. Or meet him. Does that happen to you? Does it happen to you? And what does it trigger inside you? The hindrance. it speaks up. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Jesus said, give me a drink. Wow, figure everything. You Jewish people, you know, go and trigger and talk about all the past. Last time how you bullied my child. Last time how you bullied my parent. Last time this and that. Last time you do this and that. So fresh. Suddenly this one like so long ago, no, hundreds of years ago. But for this Samaritan, hey, I'm not exaggerating, right? Please read for me. Huh? I didn't exaggerate. Did I exaggerate? Just now Marianne read, right? The woman said, how is it? I'm not adding the emotion, right? The woman said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. So to deal with capacity, many times the problem why your heart, my heart, don't have the space, don't have the room, is because it is filled with all these hindrances, natural hindrances. Our past, our tradition, oh, we are Chinese, we worship, we don't have to be so excited, you know. Who says so? You know, Chinese, why we worship, cannot lift hands, cannot move a bit. So all these things, natural hindrance, your past, your tradition, your suspicion. You see, this Samaritan woman was suspicious about Jesus. Yeah, last time you don't deal with, but you come here, you must have something to, you must want to get something from me. Don't think that it is funny, because that's how the devil works. The serpent planted in the mind of Eve. Why did God disallow you to eat the fruit? God did not want you to be clever like him. It planted a seed of suspicion. If you have a seed of suspicion, that is a hindrance. Some people had that suspicion, condemnation, the past, your tradition, all these are hindrances. Some people live in condemnation, you know. Even after God has forgiven them, they still condemn themselves. And condemnation causes you not to move forward. You feel condemned, God doesn't accept me. It's not possible God will answer my prayer. It's not God doesn't want to answer. It's your own condemnation stopping you from receiving the answer. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So do you want still to be hindered by the past? Like what I showed just now. Joseph cannot move forward. Do you want that? Do you want your past to cause you to not move forward? All of us here say no. Tomorrow we go and visit. Tomorrow we go and visit our enemy. Let's pray tomorrow.
Anytime.
Let's pray tomorrow we meet our enemies.
Every day we meet.
Don't want to meet. Huh? Suddenly, you see someone you don't like. What do you do? Brother Alec? Hello! Suddenly no phone also. Go, let's go. This way. Let's go to the car park. Nothing. Go. We escape, do all these things. Funny, very funny. Are we funny? Natural hindrances. The woman himself said, how is it Jews and Samaria have any dealings? How can you ask me, give me a drink? You know, you contest, you fight with Jesus. What did Jesus say? And then Jesus dealt with the second hindrance in verse 11. The woman said to him further, now she became more brave. She said, sir. Of course, she did it very respectfully. She called Jesus, sir, you have nothing to draw with. The well is deep. Where then do you get the living water? After the woman said, you know, we Samaritans had no dealing. Then Jesus answered in verse 10 to say, if you knew the gift of God, who is it says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, he would have given you living water. Then verse 11 was the second hindrance that this woman had. Sir, you have nothing to draw in. Natural limitation. You see your natural condition as insurmountable. You cannot overcome that. Not possible. Look at my condition. No way I can get out of this. There's no way. The doctor say no. Consultant say no. Specialist say no. Or other things. Nobody was. Not possible. You have nothing to draw with. You tell Jesus, you got nothing to draw with. Well is deep. Are those true? Are those things true? Are those things true? Well is deep and you have nothing to draw it? Is it true on a sister pack? Is the well deep? Is it true? Is it true that Jesus has nothing to draw it? Is it true? True, right? Huh? It can be true, but it is not necessarily the truth. Do you see that? Many things can be true, but it cannot, it need not necessarily be the truth. Because the truth is, even though without anything, or even if the well is deep, Jesus can do it. The truth is, nothing is impossible with Jesus. So that is what we always struggle with. It's true. Natural condition is true. No argument about it. But it need not be the truth. Do you see that? But we always just succumb to the fact that it's true. It's true, man. Hey, wait. It's true. But ask yourself, ask the Holy Spirit, ask Jesus. Is it the truth according to your nature, according to who you are? Is it the truth? Don't just say that. A lot of people can bring a lot of things true. You see, I can show you they are true. Yeah, I go to the temple, this thing happened, true. That's out of nowhere, the apples drop or all that. So what are you going to say? It can be true to you, but it's not the truth. Amen. The woman was arguing something that was true. Right? But what was it that triggered the woman to say that? See? Give me a drink. So the first thing that Jesus dealt with was the hindrances in the woman's heart, the past and natural limitation. Shall we continue? Verse 13. Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." Verse 15, the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, that I may not thirst nor come here to draw." Okay, this is now getting very interesting. You must follow me very closely. The first thing first, let's go back to verse 10 just now. The first thing we must notice is what Jesus said. Jesus said, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you," how do you overcome whether it's true and the truth? How do you overcome it? You and I must be able to see who Jesus is. How do you know who Jesus is? Through what he say and what he does. If you know who is it that speak, that means you must know his heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Jesus himself said, please follow me closely. If you know the gift of God, we are talking about the hand of God that gives you something. To know God, we must know not only the hand, we must know the heart. That's what Jesus said. If you know the gift of God, many people just know gift only. Just asking for help, need, bless. Jesus did not stop there. Jesus said, if you know the gift of God, and who is it that asks you, give me a drink. Read clearly verse 10. Jesus answered, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is who says to you. You must know the man. Don't just know the gift, you must know the heart. When you know Jesus, the way you pray will be different. The way you ask things will be different. Because if you think Jesus is a vending machine, you will pray like and see Jesus is a vending machine. If you think Jesus is a Santa Claus, then you will be like Jimmy. My daughters all know Jimmy very well. If you think Jesus is Santa Claus, you will end up as Jimmy. Why is it Jimmy, Maria, Marisa, Maribel? Why Jimmy? Gimme. My name is Jimmy. Because if Jesus is Santa Claus, all Christians might as well change our names to be Jimmy. Because we will always be gimme. Our name is Jimmy. Sounds, it rhymes, eh? like a rat like that. Gimme, 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 gimme. My name is Jimmy. So who do you know, who is it that says what he says? We must know who. We must be able to see. We must be able to perceive who this Jesus is. His hand and his heart. Amen. Are you following me? That is in verse 10. And just now, as we read in verse 13, Jesus began to, because he knew that this Samaritan woman did not catch what he was saying, he began to make it clearer. He began to make it clearer. Until the Samaritan realized. What did the Samaritan realize, Brother Alex? How many wells were there? Huh? How many wells were there, Brother Albert? There were two wells. If you only see one well, you missed what Jesus said. When Jesus said, give me a drink, there were two wells. The Samaritan woman could only see one well. There were two wells. There were two wells. Go back to just now when Jesus was weary. Look carefully, look very carefully. Verse 6. How many wells were there? Eh? Look very carefully, verse 6. Now, everyone look at verse 6. Yeah, verse 6. Jacob's well was there. How many wells is there? One, right? One. Now, Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary, tired, he sat by the well. How many wells now?
Two.
Well, very clever. First, it was one well, Jacob's well. Then Jesus sat by the well. Look carefully. Jesus had to close Jacob's well. He didn't say clearly he sat on it, but figuratively, he closed Jacob's well so that you can drink his well, from his well. Amen. In every situation of your life, every problem and circumstance, if you only see one well, you missed it. In a sickness, in a problem, in a difficulty, most of the time, we only see one well. Jacob's well. Jacob's well has many meanings. Like I say, this story, you can see it from many perspectives. But I'm not going to look at all those perspectives. I'm going to look at a different theme. Jacob means supplanter. The word Jacob in Hebrew means supplanter. You know, he came out, the first son was Esau. Come out, one baby, and you see one hand, want to pull the first baby. That's why the parent look at it, oh, this one, so special one, this child. One hand, want to pull the cocoa's leg. Oh. Come out. Better name him Jacob. Pull one. Supplanter, always want to pull. In other words, his name is also something like Jimmy. He wants to always get, supplant. Think of a way. How to get a birthright. How I can trick my father, how I can trick. And this is all we have. Man. It's Adamic. It's all inside us. And every situation, we always access this well. Man. Use your Jacob's well. Very clever, man. Check the Google, ask someone. Not wrong. I'm not saying it's wrong. But we always access one well only. We fail to see there's another well in every situation in your life, in my life. That's why when you only see one well, you only feed on that well, your capacity full. When you want to come to Jesus, full area. I know my ways. I think it must be like that. I want to pray this way. I want to insist this way. I think it should work out this way. I prophesy this way. Oh. Even your gift of the Spirit must flow according to your Jacob's well. It does not flow from Jesus' well. Is it possible? Yes. Prophecy can flow from Jacob's well. It's not pure. It's in the Old Testament. Do you know prophets can prophesy according to your desire? He's not listening from God. He's prophesying according to the idols in your heart. It's in the book of, was it Isaiah or Ezekiel, I think. He's not prophesying from a pure stream. he could prophesy from your idol. He picked up the desire of your heart, the idol in your heart. That's the Jacob's well. So don't think that every prophecy that sounds good, that ngam you, is from God. Amen. It takes one who could see there are two wells. But when you just see one well, that is the problem of this Samaritan. But Jesus was so patient, he began to show the difference. If you drink from this well, you don't have to. If you drink from Jacob's well, you will be thirsty again. Slowly, Jesus was patient, building up the theme. You'll be thirsty again. Then Samaritan got it. Wow, I want this well. She suddenly realized, hey, this man is talking about a different well. There are two wells. Ezekiel 13, 1-3. Ezekiel 13, go back and read. Prophet can prophesy according to the idols in your heart. Be careful. Don't think that, wow, every prophecy must be a pure, from a pure stream. Amen? Isn't it powerful when I saw that? Wow! We should always see there are two wells. And we must always do like what Jesus did. You close the Jacob's well. He sat on the well of Jacob so that we can drink from the well of Jesus. Amen. Because when Jesus said, when you drink from the well of Jesus, it becomes a part of you. Hallelujah. It becomes a fountain inside you. It becomes internalized. It becomes part of you. Amen. But Jacob's way is the man's way. Always thinking. What? How do I scheme? I can scheme. How do I get out of this problem? How do I get out of this? That person, you think he's cunning. He hasn't met me yet. I'm even more cunning. Do you always think like that? Sometimes, right? Oh, you think we're very smart. Wait till I talk. I show you my... That's your Jacob's well. Don't want. Do you want to let your Jacob's well continue to drink from there? Don't want. Don't want. If you keep on drinking your Jacob's well, you'll be like this Samaritan woman who never found a breakthrough. Continue in a cycle. That was a problem. Keep on drinking, same cycle. We'll look further. It became a cycle. Come on, everyone. Verse 16, Jesus said to her. After he realized, she realized there are two wells now, she's very excited. Wow, I want this well. This Jesus now addressed the second issue. Out of the love of Jesus, she addressed the issue, second issue. Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. The woman answered, praise God. This Samaritan woman was sincere. She didn't say, she wasn't a hypocrite. Jesus said to her, you have said well. I have no husband, for you have had five husbands. And the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that, you spoke truly. She was true and she got her breakthrough. Everyone say, amen. We want to be true and we will receive our breakthrough. Amen. Look here carefully with me. The second thing that Jesus dealt with when he wants to address the issue of the capacity in your heart to expand the room in our heart, God deals with the bondages in our lives. Say amen. Amen. Because this woman, she was trapped in a repetitive cycle. After one husband, one more husband. Look here, Jesus did not condemn her. But Jesus uncovered her true problem. Call your husband. Look at me. For everyone, this statement is different. Don't think that this one is only for adulterer. Look at me. Husband is the wife's covering, right? This is a biblical teaching, like you submit to her. It's a covering, right? Jesus can use different statement to uncover, to remove your mask. To deal with the bondages, Jesus must uncover your mask. If we are wearing a mask, our bondages cannot be dealt with. Go call your husband. To everyone it's different. Go do this. Because Jesus wants to uncover your mask. Remove. All of us wear masks to a certain extent. You come here, I see you good. You see me good. Because everyone wear a good mask. Correct or not? Huh? I must show I'm good, but huh? You must show you are good. So that we all good, good, good. You like me, I like you, because we are all good, wear mask.
So they
all look good. All look good. Now one day you go out to the road, you saw, you know, Pastor Benjamin in the car. Huh? Horn the person so, he got shocked. No mask on that day, in that time, in the traffic, no, nobody to preach, nobody cannot see anyone. Nobody see him. Mana tau, Brother Alex, then, yo, take video. Pain, why? No, all this, then Brother Alex nicely record, post it on the Bethany chat group. Hallelujah, there goes my mask. So that can be dealt with. Then Brother Alex lovingly say, let us pray for our pastor. Lovingly, the master said, let us pray that he becomes a patient and a kind, humble servant of God. Jesus must deal with your mask, my mask. I don't know you, you don't know me. If we wear a mask, with Jesus, we shouldn't wear a mask. Uncover the mask. Why? What is the reason the mask has to be uncovered? Because if it is not uncovered, the root cause cannot be addressed. Why this woman kept on having different husbands? Do you want to know why? God wants to address the why, the root cause in your life, in my life. Look at me. Most of the time, you and I are stuck in a bondage because you and I are nursing a pain. You and I are nursing. You know nursing? N-U-R-S-I-N-G. Nursing. We are feeding our pain. We are feeding a rejection in our lives. We are feeding an injustice. You know, these are all valid feelings. You felt injustice in your heart. And that injustice doesn't have an outlet. You do not know how to express this injustice. You caught yourself in a bondage. You get addicted to television, you get addicted to internet, pornography, you get addicted to all kinds of things. Some people are addicted to food, some people are addicted to all kinds of things to nurse the pain, to nurse the rejection, to nurse the condemnation, to nurse the injustice, to nurse the ego, to feed and to raise all the small little dragon pets in your heart, not knowing that these are all dragons, but it has become a small cute pet inside you. You nurse them until they overpower us, until you and I lose control. I can't do anything. I don't know what to do now. I'm overpowered by this dragon that I've been feeding. That's the bondage we are talking about. It has to be uncovered to know the root cause. Why is it so? You have always been nursing a pain. You are not happy because somebody treated you unfairly. You had that pain that hurt in you. A lot of people always nurse that pain. That's why many weeks, we have gone through many weeks talking about the love of Jesus. If you do not truly experience the love of Jesus, you will always continue to nurse that pain. Nurse the rejection. I know what it means. I felt a kind of a rejection when I was a younger person. And rejection is not nice. You try to use things to... Huh? So you feed your ego. You make sure everybody likes you. You do things that are not you. Just for people to like you. What are you doing? You're feeding your ego. You're nursing your rejection. Because you have been rejected once. You have suffered hurt once. You have suffered pain once. You don't like it. I don't like this feeling. I'm not going to allow anyone to hurt me again. I'm not going to allow anyone to cause me pain again. Instead of allowing the love of Jesus to heal. And this love of Jesus is not one time, you know. After Jesus has healed you, we must continue to feed on the love. That's why Jesus keeps on calling us to fellowship with Him. We must continuously feed on Him. The moment you stop feeding, you have the tendency to go back to feed and nurse your pain, your hurt, your rejection, your feeling of injustice. It will still come and tempt you. But when you have received, experienced, tasted the love that is better than wine, you can be free from nursing your pain, your anger, your ego, your little dragons in your heart, in my heart. Amen. Amen. Do you catch what I'm saying? It's very important. Amen. Because most of the time we are just dealing with a symptom. Oh, it's bondage. Bring him to church. This problem. Counseling. This one. Jesus said, go call her husband. Uncover the issue. Take away the mask. What is it that caused all this? What is it? What's the problem? Is he suffering from rejection? What is it? Is it pain? Is it injustice? Let's go to the root. Let him receive and be touched by the love of Jesus. Let him be free. Let the root cause be settled. Amen. And that's what we want. We want a place where the love of Jesus can freely flow. Amen. Because in this end time, there are many people with all kinds of issues. Mental issues, brain issues. Hello, counseling cannot help. Medicine cannot help. The love of Jesus can set them free. And God is raising up people. And He needs a place. He needs people to contain that love, to release that love. But if you do not have that capacity, we do not have that capacity, how can God use us? Amen. God, in His grace, choose to use us. I like that last week. Do you hear Pastor Bernard say, what is spiritual gift? Spiritual gift is not for you to show off. It's a way for you to show love. Do you catch that now? I think better go back and listen last week. It's very good. He said, in 1 Corinthians, it talks about love. When you know God's love, you want to show other people love. How to do it? The way God used is, He gives a spiritual gift to show love. Prophecy is to show God's love. Healing is to show God's love. Isn't that beautiful? Amen. Amen.
Show love, not show off.
Not to show off. But we got it all mixed up. We think that spiritual gift is to show off. Wow, I'm so gifted. We missed the mark again. It's for us to be. We receive prophecy. That person needs an encouragement. You're releasing a word. Not to say, very true. No, I get very true. But so that he is blessed. It's not that, very true, I'm very true. No. When he gets that message, wow. It's not important whether he will say, you very true. He will say, God knows about my condition. My goodness, how can God know about my condition? Amen. Amen. Oh, we are going to finish soon. I'm sorry, it's taken a bit more time. Verse 16, the woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. A lot of people say, this woman then changed topic. After kena shoot already, tembak, five husband and all that, then she changed topic. No. I don't think the woman changed topic. Suddenly the woman become very spiritual, right? Talk about, our ancestor worship this mountain, you all worship this mountain. He come up with a very spiritual question. So Jesus, which one? come up with the most intriguing theological question. You read that in verse 19 to verse 24. Woman said to him, I perceive you're a prophet. Our fathers worship on this mountain. You Jews in Jerusalem is the place where you worship. If the woman changed topic, Jesus wouldn't answer her. Correct or not? If she purposely changed topic, why Jesus go and entertain her? You think Jesus doesn't know? Jesus knows every intent of the heart. If it is meant to change topic, to evade the topic, Jesus would have known. My brother, my sister, look at me. This is the reason Jesus had to go to Samaria. This is what drawn Jesus to Samaria. Even though this woman had five husbands, had a bondage issue, she was awakened to a certain extent. She knew, she longed, she desired to worship God. She knew she was dirty and all that, but inside her somehow she knew that she was born for some spiritual thing. It has always bothered her. Is it this mountain, that mountain? Is it here I'm going to encounter God? They say it's there. To him, it's not a logical debate. She was so concerned. It filled her mind and heart all the time. So when the moment comes, she meets a prophet, she hopes she can get an answer. That persistent desire, even though she was sinful, even though she was not a successful person, that desire drew Jesus to say that, today I must go to Samaria, just to meet one person. And to reveal one powerful secret that until today you and I still learn. What it means to worship in spirit and in truth. Jesus didn't say it to a large crowd, you know. He could have said it in a large crowd. He revealed to this person. Jesus himself said, okay, don't throw pearls to pigs. Hello? Don't throw precious things to those who cannot appreciate it. Why did Jesus throw pearls now to pigs? This Samaritan woman was not a pig. This Samaritan woman was precious in the eyes of Jesus. It drew Jesus to Samaria. My goodness. What Jesus would not do, he did just for this woman. Because of this thing, she had a heart to worship. She knew man is created, man's chief end, man's purpose is something higher. Hallelujah. This was the reason Jesus had to come. Deeper than nursing the rejection in her heart. You know, she had one husband, two husbands. You know, after she has been nursing her pain, after she has been nursing her loneliness, she realized, deep inside her, she realized there is a capacity inside her to commune with the spirit realm. To commune with spiritual being. To commune with God through worship. Many people don't get it. After they've gone through many failures, gone down again, suffer a lot of sufferings, they never get awakened. This woman was a recipient of God's grace. He fell down once, she realized, why? She fell down again, why I'm not satisfied? What is it? Finally, she got the message. She kept on failing for 5 times. She realized she has a capacity that cannot be met by anything of this world. She began to look for that which can fulfill that capacity. It's no longer the pain. It's no longer the rejection, the loneliness. She knows it has to do with the spirit. But many people, after they have encountered 5 problems, they continue to run around looking for solution, 10 times problem, still looking for solution. God allowed that problem for you to be awakened to know, hey, it's not about the problem. It's about your capacity in your spirit for you to wake up. Hey, all the while you find solution. Look for answer. No. The woman woke up. I got 5 husbands. It didn't satisfy me. The 6th one I'm living now also cannot satisfy me. It's not about the husband. It's not about satisfying or nursing the pain, finding solution. No. I am wired for God. And this one doesn't come through intellectual knowing. This one comes through your trials. You allow the Holy Spirit to work through your trials to bring forth the goal. This is the goal that is brought forth in your trial. You realize, hey, even after I go through this problem, even after God gives me the answer, I will still meet another problem, right? There will still be another problem. Let me get this right. I will still be facing another problem. Why is it? What is it that caused inside me? That feeling that will never go away. What is it? I thought it's a problem, solution to the problem. No. Even Christians do not wake up to this. Capacity, I call it. I don't know, for lack of better terms, to wake up to this capacity in your heart, in your spirit. You are created to soar with wings of worship in the spirit realm, to commune with God. Wow. Can you imagine that? human made of dust. You rub your skin, I got dust. Okay. Human made of dust can have a capacity for eternity. This woman realized. Because this woman realized, inside her, the longing was so loud that Jesus heard it. And Jesus said, I must go to Samaria. I'm going to release a kingdom secret to her. That God is not looking for worshipper, whether in this mountain, that mountain. Hey, never revealed before, you know, this secret. God kept it for ages, you know. All along, to them, it was just this mountain or that mountain. Come that day. As I told you, it's not a speak. Jesus came to the right vessel. Tell her, my Father is looking for a worship, true worshipper who worships in spirit and in truth. Wow. 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 Amen. Amen. I'm going to end here. Let's skip down. Let's skip to the last part. Look at verse 28. Look at her response. What did verse 28 say? She became the evangelist, I told you, right? But it was purposefully being told to us. She left her water pot. She left her water pot. She will now no longer nurse the pain from Jacob's well. She decided, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to come to this Jacob's well anymore. She left the water pot. Do you see that or not? That's why Jesus could trust her with the treasure, with the secret. She is one that will give up. She said, I don't need this water pot anymore. I don't need anymore. I'm not going to come to take this water from this well anymore. Can you understand what it says? It's very difficult, right? I'm going to explain to you in a very interesting way. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16 verse 25. Listen carefully to me. This is a very interesting verse. Matthew chapter 16. Let's read all together. Okay. Since these are the last verses that we'll be reading. Matthew 16 verses 25 to 26. If you have found it, say amen.
Amen.
1, 2, go. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? You read that? We always learn this, right? But do you see the last question? Or not? The last part there, it ended with a question. You know? What was the question? What will you give in exchange for your soul? My goodness. What you and I do, most of the time, we have been transacting our soul away. We have been transacting our soul away. You know? It's either you give your soul away to Jesus or you give your soul away to Satan. Or the world. The world belongs to it's under the Satan's control. Do you catch it? What does it say? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? It's either you give up the water pot, become more like Jesus, allow Jesus to conform us to the image of Jesus, then Jesus restore our soul. But if we refuse, we will be losing our soul. We don't want to be conformed to his image. We exchange, listen to me carefully, we exchange our soul for things that do not satisfy. You thought it is a small thing, or the things that you do, you have been exchanging your soul. The woman has been exchanging her soul for things that do not satisfy. You see, people who are in bondage, their souls have been exchanged to the world, to the demons. Bit by bit, portion by portion, they exchange their soul. No more souls. That's the Bible. That's what it says. And the woman had the courage. She said, wow, I got it at last. She exchanged it. She got her soul back. She gave up the water pot. Amen. Water pot is the most important thing. It's most precious. I cannot take water anymore. Huh? She realized what was truly precious. What was the true treasure? She will no longer exchange her soul for things that do not satisfy. You keep on drinking on the Jacob's well, you keep hungry one. Keep on thirsty one. It's just feeding your ego. The more you feed your ego, you want more. It's just nursing your pain. The more you nurse your pain, anytime you will trigger one. It's just nursing your anger, nursing your insecurity, nursing your injustice, sense of injustice, nursing your hurt. That's why you keep on being unforgiving. You nurse your hurt, being unforgiving. But one day you decide, hey, what's all this? It doesn't satisfy me. Throw your water pot away. I'm not going to nurse my pain, not going to nurse my hurt. I want Jesus. I want the love of Jesus. I'm going to take my soul back. I'm not going to sell my soul to the devil. I'm not going to exchange my soul to the devil anymore. It's been far too long. I thought that I choose unforgiveness is no big deal. You are exchanging your soul with the devil when you do that. In anger, your unforgiveness. Do you see that? Do you see how scary is that? And you do not realize you have been exchanging your soul away. Amen. It's serious matter and it's powerful matter. If you can perceive, if you can see it, you can be set free. And God can use you to set others free. You go to the root cause of the matter. You become the recipient. You enlarge your capacity. You make your room spacious. God, I now know. I throw away the water pot. Fill me now more. I need your love. I must have your love. Now I'm not going to use the Jacob's well to nurse my pain, nurse my rejection, nurse my insecurity. I don't have anything now more. God, I'm very vulnerable now, God. People will laugh at me. I don't know what to do. I feel very vulnerable. Open your heart. That now you have capacity. Now you have room. The love of Jesus can come. But all along you are still very defensive. No, I'm going to stay strong. I'm going to look strong. I'm going to wear this mask. I'm going to show that I can. No space. No capacity. Do you see that or not? It's not wrong. Before God, you and I have to be vulnerable. If not, you don't have the room. You don't have the capacity. God wants to come. Oh, you can. I can. Go. Go ahead, nurse. Continue to nurse your rejection, nurse your insecurity, nurse your pain, nurse your hurt. Keep on being unforgiving. Exchange your soul away. Keep on exchanging your soul away. God longs for the fact that for 2 weeks we spoke about capacity, room, the Holy Spirit wants to come in a greater measure. Amen. God wants to come to us. God wants to come to us in a greater measure. That is the reason He's talking about this. We must expand our capacity. We must make room. Our lives. How do we do that? Let God address the hindrance. Let God address the bondages. Let God speak to you about your capacity to commune, to worship Him. Let go of that water pot. You are ready to receive more. Amen. Amen, my brother, my sister. Hallelujah. May the Holy Spirit speak to us tonight. Shall we stand? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shall we stand? Father, we thank you for tonight, Lord. We thank you for your word, Lord, that through this simple account, through this powerful account, this deep encounter you had with the Samaritan woman, Lord, that this lesson that your Holy Spirit tonight will speak to us, Lord. Even when we return home tonight, Lord, you will continue to speak to us, O God. You will speak to us, you will remind us, O God, for us to expand our capacity, for us to make room for you, O God. For us to be willing to let go of our water pots. For us to be willing for you to work and get rid of the hindrances. Get rid of the past. Get rid of the tradition. Get rid of the natural limitation. Get rid of the suspicion we have in our hearts, in our minds. The wrong beliefs, the traditions we hold dear in our hearts, in our minds. The natural limitations. To allow your Holy Spirit to come and uncover us, remove the mask from us. That we are open and vulnerable to you. Allowing your Holy Spirit to work in our hearts. We do not want to be hypocrites, O God. We want you to say to us like you say, like you spoke to that Samaritan woman. Go, call your husband. Uncover your heart. Uncover my heart. Uncover my mind, O God. I have nothing to hide. That I before you, O God, has nothing to hide, Lord. I have nothing to hide. And through your grace, through the power of your Holy Spirit, give us this awakening. Give us this realization that there is a capacity inside us. That we are not running around looking for solution. We are not running around looking for answers. All that you have allowed us to go through in our lives is to cause us to be aware. We are created for you. When we found out, when we realize our capacity to worship you, to commune with you, you are drawn to us. You will come to us. Our lives will never be the same. We will be the home. We will be the resting place of the Holy Spirit. We can be who you want us to be. We can begin to walk out the destiny you have for us. We have been seeking the wrong things. We have been going to the wrong places to look for the wrong things, O God. Father, I pray by your great mercies, by the grace of God, tonight, through the power of your Holy Spirit, awaken each one of us, O God. How much we need to be awakened, O God. To know our true state, to know our true need, to know our true condition. To be willing for you to take away our mask. And to open our hearts wide. That God, we have a room for you. That we have a greater storage, greater space, greater capacity for you, Lord Jesus. Is this your prayer tonight, my brother, my sister? Can you open your heart also and talk to the Holy Spirit? What is it that the Holy Spirit has spoken to you? What have you received from the Holy Spirit tonight? You have heard many things. I believe God also has released His pearls in your heart, in my heart, because He could entrust us. Can we ask Brother Joseph to display the cord of seed? Hallelujah. Just open your heart now to talk to God. Yes. Open your heart, my brother, my sister. Lift your hands and surrender yourself to Him. If you're feeling cold, go to somewhere that's not so cold. Are you ready? Are you ready to open your heart and ask God for more? Tonight you see more love, more power. I know many of you have been coming week after week. You come with a hunger, you come with a desire. Tonight, what you have heard tonight, will you engage God tonight? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See? Yep, see? Come, Holy Spirit, see. Come, Holy Spirit. How do you sing this?
Fall on me.
Is there a power? We say, fill me with your presence.
Fill me with your presence.
Satisfy not my needs, but my heart.
Say,